CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio and Tom Johnson of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reporting on what we know to be true in Afghanistan, given the fog of war. The Kabul airport is not secure. We can see this from videos. It can be secured, perhaps, but right now it is not clear what the next steps are to secure the airport, to evacuate those who are eligible or those who are nationals from Great Britain or France, contractors from the U.S. It's not clear. We do know that there are anecdotes coming out of Afghanistan via the Internet, although I'm told that the Internet, that electricity is down in different parts of the country. So it's not clear who has access to the Internet, who doesn't. But in reading a Bloomberg opinion piece this morning, I learned that one young woman, 22 years old, finishing her degree at a university, was told there is no more class for her. The other anecdotes, and we'll get many of these, so I'm not worried about whether they're accurate or not. We're just going to get anecdotes. Women reporting for their jobs were told to go home and send their husbands in their place. Well, I'm also told, anecdotally, that there is demand for the heavy burqas, the full body covering that was prominent in the Taliban-centered Afghanistan of the late 20th century. So, Bill, I go to you, and we're looking at the Taliban, and it presented itself at Doha as different from the Taliban of the late 20th century. For example, it said that it would not welcome al-Qaeda again, that that was a tactical mistake. Is there any reporting that you see, Bill, that says that this is a new Taliban, a modern video-prepared Taliban, Bill?
Yeah, John, this is a new Taliban, but it's not as advertised. This is not a moderate Taliban. This is not a Taliban that has sought to honor women's rights and respects freedom of the press and accept an Afghan constitution. Those are all the big lies that have been put out there by the Taliban apologists who own a big part of this failure. But what is new about the Taliban is its ability to use social media, its political savvy, how it used diplomacy to fool the United States, to fool those apologists, to fool the West, to think that it would do the things that everyone said claimed it would do. Its military strategy is it's far more sophisticated. In the 1990s, it was slugging it out. Here we saw a more patient, Taliban. One of the things I've documented over the last decade is the Taliban training camps. You watch these and it's undeniable that the Taliban has trained military units for very specific actions. We've seen that particularly over the last 4 to 5 years, and it used them to launch its assault. So yeah, there is a new Taliban. It isn't improved from our perspective. It's more dangerous. It's more politically savvy. It knows how to use diplomacy. It knows how to fool the gullible individuals in the West. And it knows it's adept at using social media to promote its cause.
Tom, we've spoken of al-Qaeda and its controlling hand for many of its presentations in the Gulf, in Africa. The al-Qaeda influence of the Taliban, is it distinct in some fashion, Tom? Because this is a country that the Taliban has controlled before. Do you see in these 20 years since the U.S. moved in that al-Qaeda has changed its understanding of how to advise the Taliban?
Well, I'll give you one anecdote I've heard over the last 24 hours from several people in Kabul who have contacted me. They said that they were surprised to hear so many Taliban fighters speaking Russian, that they weren't speaking Arabic or a native dialect, that they were actually speaking Russian. And I said, you know, that's not surprising to us, because part of what Bill and I have been watching for is that al-Qaeda very successfully integrated these Central Asian jihadist groups into the Taliban hierarchy. Now, some of this occurred before 9/11, but they really ramped up operations over the last 20 years along these lines. And, and in fact, when the Taliban took over northern Afghanistan, they handed control of key areas there to a commander from Tajikistan, which speaks to the Central Asian dynamic here. And of course, a lot of Central Asian fighters do speak Russian, so it did not surprise me whatsoever that this was an observation that people in Kabul were hearing. I think it speaks to the fact that Al-Qaeda was very successful at integrating these other groups in the Taliban hierarchy and into the Taliban offensive. But this is one of many points of contact between Al-Qaeda and the insurgency. I mean, you know, part of what we've been documenting for so long now is that from Sirajuddin Haqqani, who's the number two of the Taliban, the deputy leader, he's an Al-Qaeda man. From him on down, there are so many points of contact between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And this, again, if there are three big lessons here from recent years of things that America got wrong, to our minds, this is certainly one of them. The U.S. never understood who it's fighting and couldn't really articulate the nature of the enemy. And that, of course, leads to failure.
Bill, your comment, there's plenty of blame. I understand that. And there'll be reports and investigations and Congress will investigate. The intelligence failure is obvious. Right now, Bill, what are you watching for from the U.S. intelligence officers who have been watching Afghanistan? What will tell you that they've righted the ship and understand what's going on? We have a couple of minutes, Bill.
Yeah, just real quick. And then I want to, again, like as the military personnel on the ground, they're not responsible for this. Neither are the folks that I speak with. There are many clear-headed individuals within the U.S. military and intelligence, but unfortunately, they're not the ones that are, their information is being adjusted to fit political realities as their assessments are adjusted to fit political realities as they filter up. You know, I don't expect any, administration, military or intelligence, high level officials to accept any blame from this. As a matter of fact, they've been denying it. They've been telling us everything's fine. We were aware that this was a possibility and such things. But what I'm looking at going forward here now, I mean, those are issues that are going to sort themselves out of over time. I hope there's accountability for that, but I doubt there will be. But what I'm looking for right now, it's the tactical. It's what happening at the Kabul airport. It's, do we see Al-Qaeda's hand show itself? Things like that. That's what's most important to me right now.
The reporting that we have now, the fog of war, and in war, I'm always reminded what I learned early on in the Afghanistan conflict. The first three reports are wrong. Wait. We have this from Kabul. Taliban leaders march into Kabul, preparing to take full control of Afghanistan. The militant group took over the presidential palace and said it plans to soon declare a Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Hours earlier, American-backed President Ashraf Ghani fled the country. That's what we know. That's it. Right now, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. Bill Raggio, Tom Jossen, they and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. I highly recommend watching the Long War Journal for their reporting and also for their podcast, Generation Jihad. This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.